He doesn't just hightail it over there as fast as he can get there. No, he stays 2 days longer. It probably took 2 days for the messengers to get to Jesus. It's going to take 2 days for Jesus to get there. And even then, he waited two more days in the place where he was. What is the shepherd doing? What is the Savior doing? What is he working? And what is he working in those kind of situations for us? When you say, God, why? What's going on? How do I square this with your goodness and your good plans and good working in my life? So the next few verses, I'm just going to read them and ask the question, do we digress or not? Then after this, he said to the disciples, let's go to Judea. We'll find out later, do we digress or not? The disciples said to him, Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you, and you are going there again? Do we digress or not? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. Do we digress or not? But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. Do we digress or not? Well, let's get back to Lazarus, can we? And we'll come back to that digression potentially later. You were wondering about what's going on with Lazarus, right? Jesus loves him. He's sick. He's there in Bethany. Jesus now is going to say, okay, let's go. To his disciples, after saying these things, he said to them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to awaken him. Let's look at the next verse. Lazarus issues B. The disciples said to him, Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will recover. And of course, they didn't understand what Jesus was saying. Now, Jesus had spoken this falling asleep of his death. But they thought he meant taking rest in sleep. How is the death of a believer like sleep? This is not soul sleep. The believer is absent with the body and present with the Lord. What this is, though, is that being asleep is a temporary state from which one awakens. And so the body is in a temporary state of death from which the Lord at the resurrection awakens. And what's happening with Lazarus, more on this on Sunday, is really an illustration of what happens in the life of every believer at the resurrection, and that is their bodies are raised as Jesus was raised. Let's go to Lazarus issues again. Then Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus has died. Here, this dear, dear family, loved by the Lord, is experiencing one of life's ultimate bad days. Many of us been there. A loved one dies. What is Jesus working? What is he working in sickness? What is he working in death? What is he working in those things that we don't understand? Well, let's continue, because there's some more cues and clues, and then we're going to share just three things from this text. This is not comprehensive, the only things God's doing in those bad days, but certainly three things God is doing in those bad days that we can take heart in this evening and in every difficult situation. Jesus said, and for your sake, I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe, but let us go to him. So that tells us a reason, a cue, a clue of what Jesus is doing and working in those days, not just in the situation with Lazarus, but what he seeks for us and others in the midst of our difficult days. Let's go to verse 16. So Thomas, called the twin, Thomas is considered the doubting guy because of John 20, but here he's kind of the courageous guy, kind of a little out there kind of guy a little bit. Thomas said to his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. Maybe some cues and clues there. We're going to look at that. Thomas understands what is happening with Jesus and going to Jerusalem means death. And Thomas is volunteering to join in with Jesus in that. Let's turn now to consider three things that the Lord is working in this situation that speaks of the kinds of things he's working in our bad days. This is not an exhaustive theology of what he's doing, but it certainly is exemplary of the kinds of things he's doing. So when you're having one of those moments, one of those days, one of those situations, say, what's going on, God? Look around and think about these three things. Here's one, verse 15. It's very clear. For your sake, I am glad I was not there. It seems to imply that if he would have been there, he might have healed Lazarus, and then they wouldn't have had this experience of seeing what happens when Jesus enters the scene and points to his power over death in the resurrecting of Lazarus. But the focus of that isn't just the wow of what Jesus does. The focus of that is so that you may believe. So why? Well, one of the things Jesus is working so that you believe and so others believe. And if you do believe, you believe more deeply and grow in that believing. That is why. So look around and see and ask, is this for me to believe, to grow in my believing, to point others to believing, so that they too might believe? That's why. Secondly, and this is big, what's going on in those bad days? Why? So the glory of Jesus might be displayed. What did Jesus say in John chapter 11, verse 4? This illness does not lead to death. Well, it did, but it was a temporary kind of situation of death. And so Jesus cuts through all that to the big point, which is, it is for the glory of God so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now, believers are in everything they do, including the bad days, to live for the glory of God. I don't think this verse is primarily about that. What this verse is about is the display of the glory of Jesus. You know, when you're at a show, a drama or something like that, and you see the spotlight on the person that deserves the attention. That's what this glory of Jesus. Jesus is the one who deserves the attention. John chapter 1 verse 18, we have seen his glory. The glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And so in those difficult moments, just like this time with Lazarus, we see Jesus' glory displayed. As we test that with Scripture and as we align our thinking with understanding who he is and how he's at work. It takes the spotlight off of us. It even takes our spotlight off of the struggles and says, look at Jesus. Look at Jesus. Look at who he is. Look at what he does. And number three, why? This is what happens in the context of how the disciples and Mary and Martha and the whole flow of the Gospel of John is that, so you see the cross, which confirms Jesus' forever love for you. That statement by Thomas, let us also go that we may die with him. Thomas rightly says Jesus is going up to die. He knows the hour has come. John's been talking about that a lot. The hour, which means the hour of his going to give his life for his sheep as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, as the one who gives himself and lifted up so that those who look to him may live. And so the cross applies to all those bad days. How do I know that? Besides this text, look with me at Romans 8, verse 32. This is Paul's sort of, iron-tight logic applied to the life of the believer in the bad days. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. That is, all justified by faith in Jesus, believers, in all situations. How will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Though much we don't understand, Paul's saying, look at the cross. Look at the cross. And know that for those who are his own, it is the confirming of his forever love for you in everything, in all things. John actually signals this, I believe, in that little reference to Mary in John chapter 11, verse 2. Mary was, as Jesus said, anointing Jesus' body for burial. Mary was anticipating what Jesus was going to do on the cross. And John inserts that reminder here, even in John 11, before it is described in John 12. And of course, John in John 19 describes the death of Jesus, the one who gives himself. It is finished. It is finished. His death gives all that is necessary for our sins' forgiveness. So we don't digress, do we? Jesus is going up to give his life for the sheep. John 10:15. When he says, let's go to Judea again, he means, I know my sheep, and I lay down my life for them. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. John 10:15. We don't digress. It is about the cross. And the cross not only reminds us of Jesus' love for us, the cross is a call to discipleship for those that love Jesus. So Thomas called the twins, said to his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. Jesus died for his sheep, yes, and discipleship, true discipleship, follows and loves Jesus even in our bad days. In Romans 8:37 and throughout Pauline epistles, Paul uses this language to describe the cross. Him who loved us. Him who loved us. Him who loved us. And that calls for us to trust him, grow in him, glorify him, point others to him, and be assured of that love even in our bad days. You know, the kind of poems that get quoted a lot and appear on bulletin boards are typically ones I shy away from, but this one I've chosen to quote this evening. It's called In the Valleys I Grow. It seems to relate so much, and I'm reading not the whole thing, but a few parts of it, to this very point of what we see in John chapter 11, said to be by Jane Eggleston. And it says this: sometimes life seems hard to bear, full of sorrow, troubles, and woe. It's then I have to remember that it's in the valleys I grow. Let me jump down. I do not always understand why things happen as they do, but I am sure of one thing. The Lord will see me through. He's loved us. He's working. My little valleys are nothing when I picture Christ on the cross. He went through the valley of death. His victory was Satan's loss. Forgive me, Lord, for complaining when I'm feeling so very low. Just give me a gentle reminder that it's in the valleys I grow. Continue to strengthen me, Lord, and use my life each day to share your love with others and help them find their way. Thank you for the valleys, Lord. For this one thing I know, the mountaintops are glorious, but it's in the valleys I grow. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for your reminders here about what Jesus did on the cross, how that applies to those precious to him, not just Mary and Martha and Lazarus, but to us as well. Thank you, Lord, for the things you are working in these difficult days of our lives, for us to believe and point others to believing and grow in that believing. For us to see your glory, Jesus, displayed and put the spotlight on you. For those times to be a reminder of your forever love, that the cross assures us is ours. We thank you, Jesus. We praise you. Help us to grow in those valleys as we trust in you and look to you and point others to you, that you might be glorified. And we ask this in your name. Amen. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread." And we are going to take bread and the cup this evening as Jesus has instructed, in remembrance of what he did for us on the cross. And as we reflect and rejoice in his finished work, our prayer is that this would be a time of meaningful of worship and drawing near to him for each and every believer. Each Lord's Supper, Jesus invites all believers to come. And so we invite you, if you truly have received Jesus as Savior and understand what these elements represent, to come and receive. Jesus also gives us a specific instruction in receiving the Lord's Supper, in that we would examine ourselves, that we would confess sin, that we would draw near in sincerity, that we would consider and recognize the significance that Jesus' body was given, his blood was shed, so that we might have forgiveness and be those that experience the blessings of his new covenant. This evening, we are once again sort of returning to an old Trinity tradition of Good Friday, but tweaking it a little bit. So instead of chairs, which seems like a lot of stuff moving in and out and things that people are holding, we're standing as we receive the Lord's Supper. And for some who definitely need a chair, maybe you've recently had, you know, surgery, or you're not steady on your feet or whatever, we have a couple chairs up here. So please help those that need a chair, on one end or the other, to have that chair while they receive the elements at the front. We're going to invite you just to come when you're ready with those that you are coming with. We also, besides the standing, have two types of elements this evening. This is just out of respect that we have people with different perspectives or perhaps conditions that they take into account. So we have the prepackaged, as we've been doing recently here at Trinity, and we have the customary elements that we have for many years shared in. So whichever you feel is best for you, whether it's for you or out of courtesy for others or whatever, no judgment on anybody for whatever elements you partake of, please partake, whether it's prepackaged or the customary elements. And some of you may even combine in your gathering, some taking one and some the other. So obviously the customary elements are on my left, your right, the prepackaged on your left, my right. So come and receive with others if you wish. If you want to be more private, that's, again, your thing to do. While we're not receiving communion, sing, reflect while others receive. And let's all be, in all of this, praising Jesus who gives full forgiveness. And the team will lead us in those songs while communion is continuing and people are being served. Come when you're ready. Stay as long as you want. Let's worship him as we receive the Lord's Supper. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we reflect on that cross, the righteous for the unrighteous. The perfect Lamb of God gave himself for us. It is finished. It is finished. His body was given. His blood was shed. We praise you, Jesus. We worship you. We thank you for forgiveness. We thank you for the power of the cross, transforming work by your Spirit in us who have been forgiven. We Thank you, God, for the assurance the cross gives us of your love for your own. And you're working in each and every situation for those that you have loved to this point of death. You lay down your life for your sheep, and we rejoice in it. Thank you, Jesus. We worship you now. Thank you for your body given, your blood shed. We do this in remembrance of you.